You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Well, we're in the middle of our sermon series on prayer called When You Pray, and today we're going to be looking at the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said, "Not my will be done, but your will, Father." So let's pray. Father, tonight we don't want to hear from man. God, we've come to hear from you. And so this evening, God, I hide myself behind the cross. And I say, God, speak through me, use me, until all that we can hear is not Don, but you, Lord. And so tonight, God, as we hear your word, Lord, we bring ourselves under the authority of your word. And we say, God, speak to us. Lord, we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have to apologize tonight. I don't have an opening story, but what I do have is the word. So I'm going to go straight to that, if that's okay. Luke 22, 39 to 46, I'm reading from the NLT version, and this is what it says. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, "Pray that you will not give into temptation." He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last, he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you won't be given into temptation." God bless the reading of his word this evening. There are three things that we can glean from the text to help us in our engagement with prayer during the sermon series or during our faith journey. The first thing I want to encourage you with tonight is this. Prayer is the response. Prayer is the posture in response to pressure. Prayer is the response in the posture in response to prayer. Luke 22, 41 to 42 says, he walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus is in Gethsemane, and the word Gethsemane means the olive press, the place where olives are crushed under intense weight in order to extract the oil from them. And so it's no coincidence that the Son of God finds himself here in this place of pressing in the final hours before the cross. Because the truth is, before the nails ever pierced his hands, before the crown of thorns ever touched his head, before the Roman whip ever struck his back, the pressure was already closing in. And in this moment, his posture under pressure revealed the position of his heart. You see, some people, they buckle under pressure, some people break under pressure, but Jesus, he bends the knee under pressure. This is significant because in Jewish custom, the common posture for prayer was to pray standing up. But Luke in his gospel, he's intentional about writing down that Jesus knelt down and prayed. This is not just prayer. This is surrender. This is the weight of Gethsemane pressing down, and instead of resisting it, instead of running from it, instead of fighting against it, he submits to it. He kneels. Because kneeling is the posture of desperation. Kneeling is the posture of worship. Kneeling is the posture of utmost surrender. The battle of the cross is being won on the ground with his face pressed into the dirt. And then he prays, "Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me." That word cup in biblical language, it's not just the drinking vessel. It's a metaphor that's used to refer to one's portion or one's fate or one's destiny. In the Old Testament, the word cup often referred to God's wrath. In Psalm 75, verse 8, it speaks of a foaming cup in the hands of the Lord that the wicked must drink to its dregs. Isaiah 51, 17 calls it the cup of God's wrath. Jeremiah 25, 15 says, "God's cup makes the nations to stagger." This was no ordinary cup. This was the full weight of divine justice about to be poured out, not on the guilty, but on the innocent. You see, this moment is not without struggle either, because Jesus isn't a robot. Jesus is fully God, but also fully human. He is wrestling. He is under such pressure that in the next verse, it says that his sweat becomes like drops of blood. But the beauty of this moment is that his struggle doesn't lead him to rebellion. It leads him to surrender. The greater the pressure, the deeper the submission. Let me ask you tonight, Botany, what is your posture in the press? Because Gethsemane is not just the garden that we read about in the Bible in Jerusalem. It's the place that every single disciple, every believer of Jesus, every disciple will have to walk through in their faith journey. It's the moment when the weight of the call feels unbearable. It's the moment when the cost of obedience seems too high. It's the moment when the cup in front of you is too bitter to drink. Some will bow under the pressure given into fear. Some will break under the pressure and walk away. But Jesus, he bends the knee under pressure. He kneels and he prays. Because when you kneel, you shift your posture. And so you surrender your strength for his strength. You release your will to embrace his will. You need to know tonight that Gethsemane is the place where your will dies and the will of God comes alive. But the question tonight is, when the weight is heavy, when the calling is costly, when the cup is too bitter, do you kneel or do you quit? Do you pray or do you walk away? Because the pressure is going to reveal your posture. And my prayer tonight is that just like Jesus, that in the pressure, your posture would be to kneel and to pray. Second thing that we can learn from the text is this: prayer invites heaven's strength into earth's struggle. The Bible says, an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, strengthened Jesus. Now, notice something very important. God didn't remove the cup. He didn't take away the struggle. He didn't stop the trial from coming. He didn't erase away the pain. But what did he do? He sent an angel to strengthen Jesus to endure the very thing that he had to go through. Good God. Heaven didn't take away the struggle, but it gave Jesus the strength to keep on going. Heaven's strength was invited into earth's struggle. Jesus is in the fight of his life. The weight of the world is pressing in, and yet in his greatest moment of agony, heaven responds. And an angel appears not to deliver him, not to remove the suffering, but to strengthen him. See, you need to understand, church, sometimes the answer to your prayer is not an exit, it's endurance. Sometimes God is not gonna take you out of it, but he's gonna strengthen you in it. See, you might be praying for God to take you out of that difficult job, to remove that toxic boss, to shift you into a better environment, but instead of an exit, perhaps God is giving you endurance. Perhaps instead of opening the door to another position, God sends strength for you to stand in this position. Perhaps the same people who tried to break you are gonna have to now watch you thrive under the pressure. They thought that they were trying to set you up for failure, but little did they know, God was setting you up for greater. You might be praying for God to change your spouse. You know, turn things around overnight, change them, make them more loving, make them more romantic, make it easy. But instead of an instant fix, perhaps God is trying to strengthen you. Perhaps God is, now I'm not pointing to you, my beloved. Come on, somebody. Perhaps instead of changing them, he's changing your heart, your patience, your love, your endurance. Perhaps he's teaching you that real love is not just about comfort, it's about covenant. And when you feel like giving up, he sends strength for you to hold on. You might be praying, Lord, when was the storm gonna end? When is this thing gonna finish? How much longer must I endure this? Perhaps instead of an escape route, maybe God is giving you grace to endure. Perhaps instead of stopping the storm, he is anchoring you in the midst of the storm. Perhaps he's teaching you that peace is not found in the absence of the storm. Peace is found in the presence of the Savior in the middle of the storm. And even when the wind is howling and the seas are crashing, you won't sink. Why? Because God is with you. Listen, you might be praying, Lord, I thought that when I give you my heart, everything's gonna be easy. I thought that if I said yes to Jesus, that everything's going to be smooth sailing. I thought that walking in my calling would open all the doors and opportunities for me. But instead of removing the opposition, perhaps God is strengthening you to fight. Perhaps God is strengthening your faith. Perhaps he's showing you that the oil on your life comes with a price. Just like Jesus in Gethsemane, you've cried, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But the angel didn't come to remove the cup. The angel came to strengthen Jesus to drink the cup. And today, I declare that same thing, same strength is coming upon you tonight. Turn to the person next to you and say, strength is coming. Strength is coming. Look at them good and say, strength is coming. Yeah. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn back. You might have to fight, but you're not going to fight alone. You may have to endure, but you won't endure empty. God is sending strength. Strength for the battle. Strength for the journey. Strength for the call. You see, that word strength in the Greek is this word that means to empower, to impart might, to make someone strong inwardly. You see, this isn't just physical relief. This is divine reinforcement. This is a kind of strength that fortifies the soul. It's the same word that's used in Ephesians 6:10 when it says, be strong, be strengthened in the Lord and the power of his might. This isn't just help. This is heaven's power flowing into weary vessels. Let me ask you a question tonight. Where in your life are you praying for an escape when you should be praying for endurance? Because maybe God's not going to open the door to take you out. Maybe he's going to pour out his strength to take you through. Let me encourage you tonight. Prayer invites heaven's strength into earth's struggle. If I can invite the band to join me. Third and finally, prayer is where the battle is won. Luke 22:44 says, he prayed more fervently and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Church, this is the moment of victory. The cross was painful, but the battle wasn't won on Calvary. It was won in Gethsemane. The battle wasn't settled when the nails went in. It was settled when the Son of God knelt down to pray. Because victory doesn't start when you step into the trial. It starts when you step into the place of prayer. Look at the text tonight. Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. The word for anguish is this idea of intense struggle, extreme conflict. It's the same word that's used to describe an athlete in a wrestling match. This wasn't just a casual prayer. This was combat. This was the Son of God locked in the greatest wrestling match in history. His will versus the will of the Father. But watch this. He didn't run from the fight. He pressed into it. The greater the pressure, the greater the prayer. And here's what's wild about the text. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Medically, this is a rare condition where extreme stress causes blood to mix with sweat. It's as if his body was already beginning to shed blood before the first whip ever touched his back. You see, the battle didn't start at the flogging post. It started in the garden. The battle wasn't won when he said, it is finished. It was won when he said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. See, you need to understand tonight that Jesus knew what was coming. He knew about Judas. He knew about the betrayal. He knew about the mock trial. He knew about the crown of thorns, knew about the nails. But he didn't wait until the soldiers came to start warring. He didn't wait until he was on trial to start interceding. He didn't wait until he was on the cross to start surrendering. He won in the garden before the enemies even arrived. See, I need to tell somebody tonight, you don't just win battles on the battlefield, you win them in the prayer room. You don't just conquer addiction at the altar, you conquer it in your secret place. You don't just overcome spiritual attacks in public. No, you overcome them on your knees in private in prayer. You don't walk in victory when the storm hits. You walk in victory because you've been in the prayer room and you've prayed before the storm. Prayer doesn't just prepare you for the fight. Prayer determines the fight. That's why Jesus finds his disciples sleeping and he says, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you won't be given into temptation. He's telling them, don't you realize this battle is spiritual before it gets physical? You're about to be tested, and if you aren't prayed up, you're gonna fail Peter thought that he was strong enough. Peter thought that he could handle it, but prayerlessness made him vulnerable. 5 p.m., let me ask you tonight, are you fighting battles that you should have already won in prayer? Are you struggling with things that you should have already surrendered? Are you breaking under pressure because you didn't bow the knee before the battle? Hear me tonight. When you pray, you're not just talking to God. You're shifting the outcome before the battle even begins. So you need to know tonight, prayer is where the battle is won. You see, all throughout Scripture, there seems to be a divine pattern of how God operates. You know, before the Red Sea ever parted, Moses prayed. Before fire fell from heaven, Elijah prayed. Before the walls of Jericho came down, Joshua prayed. And before Jesus hung on the cross, before a single nail even touched his hand, he prayed in Gethsemane. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. It's dark, the night is heavy with betrayal, the weight of the world is pressing in on him. And Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the one who was there when the foundations of the world was laid, he falls to his knees and he prays. The ground is cold, the air thick with sorrow. His friends are sleeping, but he is wrestling, wrestling with the will of God, wrestling with the weight of sin, wrestling with the coming cross, sweat pouring, blood falling, agony rising. He cries out, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And for a moment, it looks like heaven is silent. For a moment, it seems as though there is no answer. But the Bible says the angel appeared, the angel strengthened him, and then Jesus got up. Jesus stands up different than when he knelt down. Oh, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but you've been waiting for the battle to end, but the Lord's been waiting for you to pray. You've been waiting for the storm to pass, but God's been waiting for you to hit the knees on the ground. Because when you pray, you don't just walk into the fight. When you pray, you walk in victory before the fight begins. Ask Hannah, who prayed and her barren womb became a prophetic miracle. Ask Daniel, who prayed and the lions became a pillow in the lion's den. Ask Jehoshaphat, who prayed and his enemies destroyed themselves. Ask Elijah, who prayed and drought turned to downpour. Ask Jesus, who prayed and death lost its sting. I came to ask you today. I came to ask you tonight, 5 p.m. But have you prayed though? Have you prayed though? You've been pacing the floor. You've been losing sleep. You've been wrestling with the weight of life. But have you prayed though? You've been strategizing. You've been analyzing. You've been trying to figure your way through. But have you prayed though? You've been complaining about your marriage, telling everybody who will listen. You've been waiting for your spouse to change. But have you prayed though? You've been fighting that addiction and you've been saying, "This is the last time, I promise." You've been trying to quit in your own strength, but have you prayed though? You've been making decisions, signing contracts, choosing relationships, but have you gotten into the presence of God and said, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." Botany, this is your moment. Botany, this is your hour to pray. To pray like never before, to pray with power, to pray with authority, to pray until heaven invades earth. Because when you pray, you don't just move, you move in divine direction. You don't just decide, no, you decide with the mind of Christ. You don't just knock on the door, no, you break prison doors open. You don't just cry out, no, you call things that are not as though they were. You don't just lift your voice, no, you silence the voice of the enemy. You don't just make requests, you partner with the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so prayer can't be the last resort. It has to be our first response. Prayer can't be the backup plan. It has to be the only battle plan. Prayer is not what we do when we've got nothing else left to do. No, prayer is how we win. And tonight, church, I'm calling you today. No matter what the trial, no matter what the struggle, kneel in prayer. Don't run from the pressure, but let prayer be your response. Because in your prayer, you're inviting heaven's strength into the earthly struggle. In your prayer, you're drawing strength to face what might seem impossible. 5 p.m., let me encourage you. Your victory, your breakthrough, your peace, your joy, your healing. It all begins in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there are two groups of people I want to pray for tonight. Firstly, I want to pray for those who are wrestling with surrender. Maybe you're caught between your own desires and God's divine purpose. Maybe you're battling to let go of control. Maybe you're struggling to trust God fully, and you need the strength to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. The second group I want to pray for as well are those who are weary in obedience. Maybe you surrendered to God, but the weight of obedience has become heavy. Maybe you're walking in the will of God, but you're tired. You're discouraged and feel like you're in your own garden of Gethsemane. I want to pray for you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice who is in need of courage to let go of control and surrender, oh God. I pray, God, that they would come to know that, Lord, you are dependable. God, you are trustworthy. God, you are faithful to your promises. Lord, you are the great I am. You've got a panoramic view of our lives. You know our beginning from our ending. And so I pray, God, that we wouldn't struggle to surrender, but God, the posture of our hearts would be, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I also pray for those who may be weary in obedience. God, I pray for supernatural strength. I pray, God, that in the same way that the angel was sent to strengthen Jesus to drink from this cup, Lord, I pray that you would send strength, oh Lord, for us to endure. Supernatural strength. And we thank you, God, that resurrection follows the cross. And as we look to the cross, we see beyond the cross there is resurrection, oh Lord. And so because of that, oh God, I thank you that we can stand firm, that we can have faith to continue to do this journey of faith. Lord, we thank you for who you are and all that you continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity to come to know him. You know, the Bible talks about how God created this entire universe. The God who created this universe is the same God who created you and me. And he created us to know God. He created us to come to loving fellowship with God. He created us to enjoy this abundance of life that can only be found in God. But the problem is there's this thing that keeps us disconnected from God. That thing is called sin. Sin is doing things our own way. Sin is walking in disobedience to God. But also the Bible says that the consequence of sin is death. But you see, my friend, it didn't end there, because God in his grace, he sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I didn't have to pay the consequence for sin. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself the punishment that you and I deserved for sin. But instead, he extended to us his grace, forgiveness for your past, a new life right now, and a hope for your future and eternal life with him in heaven. But here's what we got to do. We've got to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. Put our faith in Jesus, put our hope in Jesus, put our trust in Jesus for everlasting life. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him, that's all you got to do, believe in him, will not perish, have everlasting life. And so if that's you tonight, I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to raise your hand, and then you can put it down straight away. And listen, you've got no reason to be shy or afraid up in here. Nobody in this room was born holy. We are all sinners who've been saved by grace. But we want you to know that we are right here with you and we've got your back. And so if that's you and you're saying, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus, I'm going to count to three. I want you to raise your hand and then you can put it down straight away. One, God loves you. Two, he's speaking to your heart right now. Three, raise your hand. Thank you, bro. I see your hand. Thank you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand there. I see your hand. Listen, there's one more thing I want you to do for me. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but I need you to understand something. This prayer doesn't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. This prayer is just an expression of you putting your faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Today, I believe in my heart that you died on the cross and on the third day you rose again. I turn away from my sin and I turn to you. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life and into my heart. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.